The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jim Krishan on Sunday, December 23rd, 2018.
Church. Merry Christmas. Grace and peace. Greetings in the name of Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer this morning. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. May we come into His presence with joy in our hearts, joy in our lives, despite maybe having been beaten up a little this week, maybe despite being in a hurry, rushed, or maybe even wondering which room we were coming in or going out of. May we find joy in the life that God has given us. For truly, today is the day the Lord has made. We have this day and this time. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, we come to You today thanking You for love, grace, and mercy, seeking Your presence with us today that we may join together with You, claiming the promise that where two or three are gathered, You are in their midst. We come today truly thanking You into a time of worship and praise in spirit and in truth. May God be praised. May Christ be honored. May our souls be lifted up. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. Today, we remember Joseph, worn out traveler and worried husband, doing what was necessary for the sake of his family, the burden of poverty, shifting his hope in the promise of God. There was no room for him, yet he knows to whom he belongs together. Today we give thanks for the Josephs among us, migrating far from home when there was no choice, fiercely devoted to the ones they love, unwavering in their belief that there is room for all in the kingdom of God. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we light this candle as a symbol of Joseph, who knocks at the door, ready to take his place among royalty. Fourth Sunday in Advent, Christmas around the corner, Christmas Eve upon us. Hopefully all the shopping's done, and the wrapping's almost finished, the tree's up, packages are surrounded, plans are made. And as we near this time of Christmas, I always ask myself the same question every year. Why should Christmas be a happy holiday? Why should it be a happy holiday? And I found it again this year as I read this text. Affirm for me why I find Christmas a happy time of year. It isn't because of the shopping. It isn't because of the presents. It isn't because of the tree decorated. It isn't because of a meal shared. It isn't just because of family and friends gathered, kids home from school, the house full, noisy. You know, sometimes that's not so good, but sometimes it is. You know, and having everybody around. It isn't the hustle and the bustle and the advertising that seems to start sooner every year. It isn't about worrying if Amazon's going to get it there on time or not. It isn't even the silence of the night before Christmas Day. It isn't even the Christmas Eve service when we'll light this candle, which represents the Christ. We'll share in the singing of Silent Night, and we'll lift candles to remind us of the light. It isn't any of those things that the world would hold dear, or that the world may lift up for holiday cheer. It is the Christ born in a stable small, not like a king or prince, not like that at all. It's about a Christ humbly born that gives us hope on a Christmas morn. I bet you didn't know I had a poem memorized, did you? There's more here than meets the eye. So as we look at our text for today, and the sermon is entitled, "And the Gift of the Holy Spirit, Filled with the Holy Spirit," it is that gift that I want us to look at today. This marks an important point, of course, in the development of our Christian faith, is the birth of Jesus. And it fulfills prophecy, and it requires us, as we hear this text, to kind of keep in mind the history of the Bible from Genesis all the way up until now. It requires us to get our brain cells out and massage them a little bit, or maybe just kind of hit them and knock them around a touch, or stand on our head for more blood flow, or maybe even open our Bible and read it. That might be a novel thing. But it means that we got to go back to Abraham and Sarah. Here we have Zechariah, the priest in the temple. He goes into the Holy of Holies, and the angel meets him in there. Oh my, you know, you're in the Holy of Holies. You're in the temple of God, and you're surprised that an angel's there. I mean, go figure. Maybe he was surprised because he thought it's over. You know, this angel caught me in here, and I'm not supposed to be. But that's not what happens. And the angel tells him that your wife is going, he says your wife's pregnant. And what does Zechariah do? What? No way. He doubted. With God all things are possible, but you're not going to say another word. And he's mute. Until the day they go to the temple to have John circumcised and named. Well, the angel goes and tells Elizabeth that she's pregnant. And what does she do? Oh, there's no way. You know, I mean, she's 70, 80 years old. But it was so. And then she even says, how come you wait till now when I'm old? Is this a joke? But it wasn't. And she was ashamed of herself because it really looked bad. Zechariah couldn't defend her. He couldn't defend himself. They haven't had babies, and all of a sudden, now she's going to have a baby. Must have been something wrong with him for a long time. This is pretty evident it worked for her. She saw it as not a blessing. So she hides herself away. Now, take your mind back just a little while to that early couple, finding them in Genesis 12. Abraham and Sarah are up in years when God calls them out from their families to go to this place he would show them. And he promises them that they would have children, but they're on in years. Remember how they reacted to those promises too. And if you read Genesis chapter 12, you find God's promises to Abraham. But we know that indeed Sarah did conceive a child, and Isaac was born. Do you see how the Zechariah Elizabeth story looks like the story of the first child of the nation of Israel, literally? The fulfillment of God's promise. And later, a prophet of the Old Testament would say that there would come a prophet preaching a message of repentance to prepare the way of the Lord, a voice crying in the wilderness. And that voice would be the very child of Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist. And then this other girl goes with this fantastic story, this girl named Mary, about getting pregnant, having never known a man. She and Joseph gets a message from the angel. She gets one. They decide to go with it, listen to God, be faithful. And it cost them their friends and family, literally shunned, cast out, because nobody would believe, despite the fact that the prophecy said exactly where this would happen and the way it would happen. Despite the knowledge of all of this tradition, these religious leaders shunned and rejected these people. And now we have Elizabeth shut away in her own home. And we have Mary going to go see her, because the angel come again to Mary. And the angel said, your cousin Elizabeth, who was really old, is pregnant. And she's going to have a son, and his name's going to be John. So Mary decides to go and visit Elizabeth, and she goes in, and the housekeeper, houseperson, announces her presence. And I want you to see that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and her child was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to remember, Jesus is still in the oven, okay? He hasn't been born, he hasn't lived, he hasn't died, he hasn't been buried, and he hasn't been resurrected, and the Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit's at work in both Elizabeth and John in the womb. The Holy Spirit has been present many times. For God would send the Spirit as needed to places where it was needed, to people to whom it was needed. God selected the people, the times and the places. The prophecies are fulfilling in that room and in that visit. Every word and every promise of God is being fulfilled and would be fulfilled completely. When Jesus was a little baby, he grew to be the Savior, the Redeemer, the Christ. He died on a cross for our sins out of his love and grace and was resurrected. And now we Christians, each and every person who receives Christ as their Savior, also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. God pours it out on each one of us according to His will, according to our need being to do His will. We're all given that. And I want you to see a few things that it does for us, because here is the real thing that makes me celebrate Christmas. I celebrated in my heart, and I celebrated a different way. And then, you know, the family and all of that stuff's a bonus. It's an added to it. But what Christmas means to your pastor is this: I can trust God. And folks, that's big. I can believe God. I can trust what God says, because He has fulfilled every promise He's made. And He made me, and He made you some promises too. And He's fulfilling them right before us. I even made some notes so it wouldn't take too long. The problem is I didn't write them big enough. I really didn't. I got to find my glasses. Next time I'm going to have to use a legal page and stamp them out. We as believers all receive the gift of His Holy Spirit, right? Say amen. Amen. And Sigmund Freud maybe called it our conscience, our id, our whatever. Psychology explains it away. But how many of you have experienced that moment in your life when you just knew you needed to do something and you listened? You see, I added that to it. How many times have you experienced something that said don't and you didn't? Later to find out you're glad you didn't, or you're glad you did, whichever. What do you think that is for the Christian? That's God's Spirit is. You how many of you watched the cartoons where the little demon was on one side and the angel was on the other and they're trying to get you to do one thing or the other? Oh, that's really what's happening. The devil's trying to deceive you. The devil's trying to lie to you. He's out there deceiving and causing doubt and God saying, no, 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 no. But sometimes we go, be gone with you, angel. I need to check this out. And that don't go so well, right? But we don't know until later. But God still loves us. To me, it is the fact that God's promises and God's gifts can be depended on. The promises and the gifts of Christmas. You see, Jesus came. Jesus is real. Do you remember what was going on? Come on. I read it in the Advent thing. And you could have cheated if you watched us on Facebook and know the answer. Remember, Jesus isn't just a Bible person. He's a historical figure. If you remember, it became necessary that Joseph and Mary go to what? They had to register themselves. They had to be counted. Who were they registering for? The Romans, right? Why were they being registered by the Romans? So they could be taxed. Well, guess what happened while they were up there registering? There was a baby come along. So guess what they had to do? They had to register a baby. Guess what's in the history books? Birth records. There you go. Oh, wow, right? No, I already knew it. I didn't have to worry about her Romans records. So now here the Holy Spirit is. Mary and Elizabeth, those religious boom fubbles are all over about whatever. This ain't suiting them. Yeah, that could be. It's got some semblages because they did go and tell Herod, remember, they knew the prophecy. They said, and he'll be born in this. Is blah, blah. And Herod said, go and kill them all 2 years and under just so we get them all. Remember? They knew. But they didn't believe it. But Mary and Elizabeth do, don't they? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is fulfilling it. It's sharing it. It's strengthening them. So the Holy Spirit still does the same thing. It was letting Mary and Elizabeth know truth. It still does today. If we listen. If we listen to the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, it will reveal to us truth. Truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It will reveal truth. The devil's deceptions will become unraveled. But we have to listen. We have to pray. We have to read His Word. It will reveal truth. It'll let us throw off the stuff and pick up the truth. The next thing it did for them and does for us is it still works. And this is wonderful. It still works. To affirm in us our relationship with God. And it still works to let us see God at work in other people's lives too. How many of you have ever read your Bible and walked away saying, I really didn't get anything out of reading that? Anybody ever said that? How many of you have ever come to church and left and you thought, well, I didn't get anything out of that. It's okay. I know that sometimes that happens. remember, I've attended church too. Or you've went to a Bible study and you go, well, darn, I didn't receive anything out of that. Yeah. Well, what did you put in? What did you give? Do you think it's all about you and what you get? Tick-tock. What about the Holy Spirit? Do you think you just got it so you could use it and have it for your very own? God calls us to not only receive from Him, but because we have received, God calls us to give. What does that look like? That looks like taking God's work in your life and sharing it. And that's what I transformed in this morning, to let our praises get louder than our concerns, so that we could hear that God is at work in other people's lives, not just ours. You see, the joy of Christmas is we see God at work in the lives of Elizabeth, in the lives of Mary, in the lives of Joseph, and in the lives of Annas, and the lives of those in the temple who proclaimed, let me go to die now in peace because I've saw the Savior, the Messiah. You know, it's about God interacting, but it didn't just stick there, did it? The angels come and said to the shepherds, what? I bring you tidings of good news today. And they go and see it. What do the shepherds do? They go and tell everybody what they saw. They go and tell everybody what they saw. So as we look at what the Holy Spirit does for us, let us remember it's not just doing it for us. It isn't all about me, myself, and I. I don't just come to church to get a blessing for me. Sometimes you come to church to shake somebody's hand that morning. Sometimes you didn't come to get a message. Sometimes you came to give it. What does that message look like? A hug from Mary Lou. A smile. A handshake. A hand on the back. Or a funny story. Nick told Cherie, and he didn't see me laugh, I don't think. She was talking about she hadn't heard about the Christmas Eve service tomorrow night. And Nick said, what do you mean? I saw an airplane going across the sky with a big banner telling all of us. You know, maybe you need to look up. That's a blessing for you to hear that humor, to hear that going on in that exchange. You know, sometimes you don't come to get. Sometimes you've come to give. You need to be available to do that instead of running in just at the bell and running out as quick as you can. It's hard to share in that little passing of the peace everything. That's why we have a coffee time and a fellowship. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of revealing truth, but He gives us the gift of fellowship, friendship, and love. The Spirit dwells within us, and it knows where the other spirit is too. And He gives us that relationship. You see, that's what Christmas is about. That's the joy of Christmas. It's knowing that God has fulfilled, God is fulfilling, and God will fulfill. For God is faithful, and that God has loved us so much that He sent His Son. And I'm amazed that He still loves me. I'm amazed that He still wants to use me. I'm amazed. And the Spirit reveals truth. The Spirit shows us about God. And the Holy Spirit works to reveal God in us and God through us, as it did them. By being faithful and knowing God's promises. And finally, the Holy Spirit gives us the greatest revelation of Christmas. Number one, God's love that is in Jesus Christ. Number two, God's forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. Number three, God's peace that comes through Jesus Christ. And finally, number four. How many of you watched our Saturday Facebook thing? Anybody? Why not? I just don't have time. Well, quit clicking like to all of those other things that are going down through there and reading those other things. And you know, and get off those free sites, you know, that shopping. How many of you get hooked up in that free sites and yard sale sites? And I do. I'm always looking for a deal. What do I need something else for, you know? Then you would find out that the final thing, the final and the greatest gift of all of Christmas, we actually got way before Christmas. But because of Christmas, because of the Holy Spirit, this final gift can come true in every life in this room. And it can shine light into the lives of other people. But this final gift doesn't mean the world is roses. But it means sorrow lasts but for the night. But joy comes in the morning. Every one of us were created for joy. We are unique among God's creation that we can praise Him, that we can thank Him, and that we can choose to do so. It's joy. And I'm not talking about that bubbly joy. I'm talking about a joy that, as the old song says, it's way down in my soul. I've got joy in my soul. That's the spirit of Christmas. God with us and through us to share Him, His message of love and grace that came to be on Christmas Day. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Our gracious and loving God, may we know the gift of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. May You reveal to us Your love, grace, and mercy afresh and new. And Father, may we, like Elizabeth and Mary, when we experience You through Your Spirit in our hearts and lives, may we do what they did. May we respond with gratitude. May we respond in joy, praise, and worship. For that is Christmas. Amen. And now may the Spirit of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. Amen. God bless. Merry Christmas.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.